It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns play and Austin talks sports.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way.
Oh, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, you had better.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Wake them up. Get them up. Get them going. It's B&E on an interesting Friday, Tuesday, the 1st of February. Interesting with a winter storm and winter alert that continues to affect our listening area, this radio station, and all over the great state and throughout Central Texas and around the great state. Ice is accumulating pretty rapidly, freezing overnight, lots of precipitation coming down throughout Austin proper and the Hill Country, and that is leading to, obviously, issues on the roadways. Stay off of them unless you absolutely have to be on the roads. If you do have to climb out there, please, please be slow and be careful and stay off as many of the elevated overpasses as you can. And the other big issue we're dealing with right now is ice accumulating and causing power outage. Transformers are getting popped all over town as the weight of the ice on trees and other things brings it towards the power lines. We're seeing power outages, including at our home headquarters, our building there on 360, dealing with some power issues, which, of course, we have a generator to keep us up and running and on the air, but there are power outages throughout Central Texas, and we'll keep you posted on that as soon as we can, I'm sure. The crews are out feverishly trying to get folks back up and running because it's very, very cold outside, 30 degrees right now in Austin, Texas. So it's just me today. I am at my home headquarters in South Austin in Onion Creek, coming to you from the Blue Room, as we call it here, our music room down here in South Austin. My man T.Y., Ty Henderson, is back in the Horn headquarters where the power is off but the generator is on. And Ty, good morning. You slept there at the Horn headquarters, the Austin Radio Network compound last night. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. Coming off, yeah, a nice little sleepover here with Zay and Chad. Good night.
Zay is a trooper, man. When we had the snowpocalypse in February a couple of years ago, he stayed up there for six or seven days, if memory serves, camping out and making sure the Horn stays on the air. You were there along with Zay and Chad, correct?
Correct.
And Eric Raines from Coke FM up there.
Well, no, he just came in early this morning.
Okay, he drove in. He's a trooper, no doubt about it. But obviously, no power for you guys, but generators are working and doing their assigned task. Is that what I'm to understand?
Yeah, right before we came on, we had a little power flicker, but the generator popped on, so we're up and rolling.
Up and rolling. That's all we can ask for, and that's what we'll be here for you. We got a lot to talk about. A great guest lineup. Hopefully you can log it on and fire it up on your Horn app, on your smart speaker. Tell a friend. Let them know we're here for you. And we've got great guests to talk all things Big 12 football with the schedule announced yesterday. Also Big 12 basketball with the Longhorns now into sole possession of first place after the results of last night's games, including the big one in Lawrence, Kansas, as the Horns are now headed to Kansas this weekend. But the Horns, the only team at 7 wins in the Big 12 through the first 9 games of the 18-game gauntlet of the Big 12 Conference. We'll talk some college hoops. Also, it is National Signing Day, the first day of February. You know, every year, the first Wednesday in February, it used to be the big and the official National Signing Day in college football. We now know that has been advanced up ahead of Christmas, where, you know, 80, 90% of the top prospects in high school football will sign their letters of intent that Wednesday, and that 72-hour window that opens. But there's still the second window now on February the 1st. The Longhorns and Steve Sarkisian targeting a couple of top prospects, including maybe the best tight end prospect in the entire country out of Phoenix, Arizona. His name is Deuce Robinson. We'll get an update on that throughout the morning. Longhorns are in the mix there along with Georgia and USC. Our good friend Bobby Burton is going to join us coming up in the 7 o'clock hour to get us a preview of National Signing Day around these parts, around the Big 12, and around the country. That'll be about 7:10, and again, we'll go down a list of great guests throughout the course of the day to get you all the way to 10 o'clock here on the Show of the People. We're up and running early in Austin, even in the ice storm, even in the latest round of ice-pocalypse in Central Texas. We're here for you on 104.9, on 101.9, maybe it's AM 1260 you're listening, and really appreciate you being there on the Horn app, on your smart speaker, hopefully at home, and always, folks, at hornfm.com. Bucky Godbolt going to take the rest of the week off. He'll be out, and that's why he's not here, because of the ice or the roads or anything he's dealing with. He was going to be off Wednesday through the weekend. And he would certainly, if he were here right now, say good morning to the men and women at Fort Hood, Texas, and all our military installations throughout the state, throughout the nation, or all over the world who do what they do so we can do what we do. We appreciate them each and every day, and certainly appreciate an extra round of applause and thanks to our first responders and those folks working for the power companies who are up and out in this cold, in this ice, trying to deal with collisions and issues that people are dealing with. A lot of folks slipping and falling on ice for our EMS, and a lot of collisions and crashes yesterday. And, of course, now we're dealing with these power outages that are coming with the heavy icing that we're seeing throughout Central Texas. And those folks are up, and, man, those crews, it's cold outside, and it's windy, and they're up there climbing poles trying to get people back up and running. Quick note on that, Ty, if you're out and about and there's some power lines down, obviously do not touch them. I think that goes without saying, but those are just consider them live wires at that point. Do not go anywhere near those things for sure as we get this thing cranking. Now, did you sleep at all? Did you get any rest last night for the weary, or you know, just kind of laid there, or what was your sleeping situation last night?
I think I got some sleep. Not that much. It wasn't that great, but I played about 12 hours of Xbox yesterday. So it was
12 hours of Xbox. Now, that was at the station because you knew you were premeditated here. You had a plan. You executed that plan. You went home yesterday after the show, got the supplies you were going to need to bunker down today and maybe even tonight. I don't know about that. We'll see. But so you brought your Xbox, 12 hours. What do you play on an Xbox for that long?
I was playing some NBA 2K, some Call of Duty. I played a little bit of everything.
Were you playing
yesterday
with Kyler Murray? You and Kyler Murray going at it a little bit?
No, I think I'm a little above his skill level.
Ooh, did you just call out Kyler Murray, the quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals? Wow.
I did.
Who's reportedly an avid Call of Duty fan. Now, do you play by yourself, or do you get online and you know, go against other people, or is it just you?
No, I had one of my buddies that I was playing a little 5-on-5 basketball with against other real
who's
people.
Who's your team?
Well, I play on the Mavericks.
You created your own superstar.
Yes. Yes, it's my yeah. And he plays power forward for the Mavericks. So try to give Lucas some defense.
Ooh, you're just a rugged banger. Is that the deal, or
yeah,
what's your skill set?
Pretty much.
Okay. What jersey number do you don?
Number 91. That's my number in high school.
What are you, Rodman? I love this. That is such your character there, Ty. Look at it, because I'm watching the television here this morning, the local news coverage, doing a great job, and the streets and the roadways mostly abandoned, which is a good thing. Yesterday at this time at 6:08 in the morning, we had already had reports of collisions everywhere. As yesterday, people thought they could brave it and weren't sure what the ice situation was going to be, and obviously we saw the results of that with collisions all over town. There was one fatality on that 10-car pileup down on South 71, Ben White, South First area, and there were just collisions all over town. It does appear, with all the school districts closed, businesses letting folks stay and work from home, that the roadways are very, very clear. But with that in mind, our man Don Miller will be along with traffic throughout the morning. If you do have to get up and get out, if you are one of the essential workers we talk about, Don will be along to alert you of any issues that are going to be coming your way on your journey. If you do have to make a journey, please, please, please be very, very careful. as you get this thing cranked up this morning. We get this thing cranked up. Coming up, our first guest on our great lineup this morning, Ari Temkin, is going to join us here coming up after our first time out. He'll jump in, talk Big 12 basketball. Ari, of course, hosts the show there, Big 12 Radio on Sirius XM. So we'll talk to Ari, some college hoops, the Longhorns, we say, sitting atop of it. Also, the Big 12 conference schedule is out. It is National Signing Day, so all those things are front and center for us. Let's start with the headlines, though. Get you caught up on the news of the morning, as we do in the first 3 hours here of the show of the people. Make sure you're fully aware. If you get up and going, it's the headlines and the trending topics. UBO Business Services brings it to you. Start with the Big 12 Conference, which released its 2023 football schedule yesterday. Could be a one-off, a unique schedule unlike any other. It's the first and quite possibly the only time it'll include 14 teams. The new four schools who are joining the Big 12. Meanwhile, both Texas and Oklahoma will very likely be playing their final season in the Big 12 in 2023 before they exit for the Southeastern Conference. So a unique one in for sure. Texas will open their 2023 season, we knew, with their three non-conference contests, hosting Rice 213 days from today, September the 2nd, open the year at DKR. Then the much-anticipated road trip to Alabama the following Saturday. Then back to DKR to face Wyoming on September the 16th. And that's when the conference play opens. For your Texas Longhorns in 2023. They're going to open conference on the road in Waco against the Baylor Bears on Saturday, September 23rd, followed by a home game with Kansas ahead of the annual Red River game in Dallas against Oklahoma, October the 7th. Then it's the bye week, which comes at wherever you would want, right in the middle of the 12-game season. Six games in, six games to go. The Longhorns get the week off. Out of the bye, Texas will face the two of the four new conference newcomers. They'll have a trip to Houston to face the Cougars on the 21st of October, then a home tilt with BYU. To wrap up the month, then it's the month of November. Longhorns will open it by hosting the defending Big 12 champions, Kansas State, to start the 11th month of the year. Then back-to-back road trips to Iowa State and TCU. Of course, TCU played for the national championship this past season for Sonny Dykes. That game in November. Horns will wrap up the 2023 regular season hosting Texas Tech on Friday, November the 24th. Big 12 championship game is scheduled for December 2nd. And once again, if you're counting, 213 days to that opener with Rice on September 2nd. Texas basketball, as we said after last night's contest, the 10th-ranked men are now in sole possession of the first place in the rugged Big 12, halfway through the 18-game conference schedule. Horns are 7-2. They posted that big win over Baylor on Monday night. They're one game ahead of four other teams who are sitting at 6-3. Among those four, Kansas. 8th-ranked Jayhawks posted an impressive win over Kansas State last night in Lawrence. That avenged an earlier road loss to the Wildcats in Manhattan. Man, and the Wildcats fall to 6-3. Also last night, TCU held off West Virginia in Fort Worth. They improved to 6-3. Iowa State is the other 6-3 squad. Of course, they beat Texas Tech on Monday night. As for the upcoming schedule for the Longhorns, we know they're headed to play two of those 6-3 teams this weekend. They'll play at Manhattan, Kansas on Saturday afternoon, and they'll turn around and play at Lawrence against 6-3 Kansas on Monday night for Rodney Terry and the Horns. Texas women braved the weather and made it to Morgantown, West Virginia last night. They're going to play the West Virginia Mountaineers tonight. Texas women in action this evening. That game over on the bat, 105-3. NFL, busy day there as well. Made official down in Houston yesterday. Houston Texans have hired their former player and team captain, DeMeco Ryans, to be their next head coach. He's 38 years old. It's his first head coaching job. It brings him back to the place where he started his playing career back in the mid-2000s. Spent the last three seasons running the defense in San Francisco. Also yesterday, after making one final run at DeMeco Ryans, the Denver Broncos then pivoted and agreed to trade with the New Orleans Saints to acquire the rights to make Sean Payton their 19th head coach in franchise history. Broncos will hire Sean Payton. Saints will receive the Broncos' 2023 first-round pick, number 29 overall. Also a 2024 second-round pick for the right to hire the coach. Of course, he was still under contract to the New Orleans Saints.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
All right, so T.Y., what do you make of the schedule for the Longhorns? I think one of the common threads I saw, and I mentioned this yesterday with Bucky when we were talking about it, I had seen this schedule, and I told whoever had showed it to me I wouldn't give the official report, but I kind of teased it a little bit. But I think it's as far as a – because I know a lot of Longhorn fans were concerned that the final schedule from the Big 12, very likely the final schedule from the Big 12 would be kind of a stick-it-to-you on your way out the door kind of schedule. I don't see any of that in this schedule. I think this is a pretty friendly schedule for the Longhorns on their way out of the Big 12 with the bye week right in the middle. You know, you don't play Oklahoma State this time around, no West Virginia trip, but you add BYU and Houston. What are your initial thoughts at the glance at the 12 games the Longhorns will play?
Well, this texter here says that we don't leave the state of Texas between weeks 3 and 11. Is that true?
That is true. That is true.
Well, that seems like a huge plus.
That is a huge plus, that as far as travel goes, and I'm sure the travel budget will appreciate that. But, yeah, that's true. I mean, you know, and you play two teams from the city of Houston, one here with Rice, and then you're going to Houston. I know for fans, if you're adding four teams, maybe a road trip to Orlando potentially to play Central Florida, which would be cool, maybe the Mountains of BYU to play the Cougars. Cincinnati not a Longhorn opponent, so maybe they never see the Bearcats. That's a place maybe a lot of Longhorn fans have never been, to the Queen City, but in the end it's a road trip to Houston, which is convenient and close. It's great for recruiting, opportunity to get down there in front of those eyeballs. Now the question, we had a good debate last night talking to some friends about, you know, would Houston make that a game at NRG Stadium or would they play it on campus? I don't know that that's been announced yet. Everybody got the schedule and announced it officially for the first time yesterday. Houston Cougar fans can mention to us if they already know this answer, because I do not. Are they going to play it on their beautiful new home campus stadium, which I assume they will, but at the same time, to generate as much revenue as possible for your program, you head over to NRG Stadium where the Texans play and, you know, fill it for 70,000. But the issue there is, you know, of that 70-plus thousand, a high majority of them are going to be burnt orange, and you're giving up the home field advantage in that spot. Have you seen anything on that, Ty, whether the Houston game will be on campus or at a different site?
I have not, but, I mean, you'd have to imagine either, even if it is at NRG, it would probably be mostly Texas fans anyways, right?
Well, if you keep it on campus, I think that stadium down there at Houston seats 35, 40,000, maybe 50, I don't know the exact number. With you know, Tillman Fertitta has pumped a ton of money into that program, and they've redone the basketball arena. The old Hoffines Pavilion is now named after Tillman Fertitta, and it's a beautiful complex, new baseball field, and they built a new football stadium. Gosh, even before Tom Herman got there, they were under construction with that bad boy. But you can, because of your season ticket allotment, you can – you know, can phase out a lot of the Longhorn fans because they can't get access to tickets. It's going to be all U of H. It'll be a smaller crowd, but it'll be a home crowd. And obviously, Houston Cougars have been clamoring to get into this conference and fighting to get into this conference for a long, long time. And this is going to be, you know, the one more year Texas is in it. They get to face the Longhorns. I got to think they'd like to bring them in front of that rabid environment, or as rabid as you can make it for the Houston Cougars. You know, Texas fans would find some tickets, I guarantee you. But at the same time, you move it over to NRG Stadium, where there's 70,000 and your season ticket base can't cover that, I mean, that thing's going to be all burnt orange. So we'll see what the strategy will be from the Houston Cougars. But, yes, that's the road trip, which when you say it keeps you in the state of Texas. You know, the Rice game, then the trip to Alabama, which is – you know, been much anticipated after, you know, giving Alabama a great scare this past year. Almost had a chance to, a lot of folks thought they should have won that ball game against Alabama in early September here in Austin. Now you make the return engagement to the Crimson Tide, and it's an interesting matchup because the Longhorns feel like with their roster and with their coaching staff, they're in a pretty good spot with all the returning players. The entire offense returns, essentially. The coaching staff's intact. Meanwhile, we know Alabama has put together an unbelievable recruiting class, and we'll talk to our friend Bobby Burton about that coming up. But they haven't named new coordinators yet. Their coaching staff a bit in flux. They're going to have a new quarterback with Bryce Young moving off to the NFL. And, you know, you're going to play Alabama in Tuscaloosa. This might be a year where you'd like to get them. You never want to face them. The Longhorns will be an underdog without a doubt. But is this an Alabama team that may be a little bit gettable with new coaching staffs, new coordinators on both sides of the ball, new quarterback in place? We know they'll have talent oozing with Nick Saban and company. But that game comes the second game of the year in Tuscaloosa, then back home to face Wyoming. And this is where you pointed out the texture tie that the Lone Star State will be very friendly because you've got Wyoming, then to Waco, then the Red River game in Dallas, then the bye week, and then here to go down to Houston and BYU comes in. Then you're still at home with Kansas State, and the next road trip doesn't come until November when you're going to Ames, Iowa, and then Fort Worth for back-to-back road trips before the season finale with Texas Tech. Very friendly schedule in my mind. You know, no Oklahoma State, no West Virginia on the schedule. You do have to face Kansas State. That's something. How about that, Ty? Oklahoma, if you haven't looked at their schedule on their way out the gate, they don't play Kansas State, the defending conference champions, who have been a nemesis of theirs, and they also don't play Baylor, who have also given the Crimson Tide trouble. So they don't see either of those schools on their way out of the Big 12 to the SEC. I think they have to be pretty happy with what they got. So fair to say the new commissioner, Brett Yormark, and the schedule team did not do which a lot of people feel, which is, you know, stick it to Texas, stick it to Oklahoma on their way out.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Oklahoma fans have to be happy they're not playing Kansas State. That seems like that's been a real tough matchup for them.
Since, as long as I can remember. You know, when we get to July and start talking about preseason, you know, who's favored and who's this and who's that, fair to say that Texas and Kansas State will be among the top favorites for this conference, because we know Texas with all the returning players and a third year under Steve Sarkisian, the no excuses tour, as we're calling it, and Kansas State is the defending champs. They got to replace Deuce Vaughn, but they also have a ton of returning. Their whole offensive line is back. Chris Klieman in year five now there at K-State has built some stability into that program. So, I mean, those will be – and to dodge that team and Dave Aranda, you know, with Waco and Baylor, you never know. I mean, he was rough his first year, but then won the conference his second, stepped back this year. But you kind of feel like with Dave Aranda, they're always going to be in the conversation when it comes to that. So that's for the future. We've got winter workouts, we've got spring ball, and we've got National Signing Day to focus on, which is today, as a matter of fact, if you're getting up and getting going on this icy Wednesday morning. We are going to talk to our great friend Bobby Burton coming up in the Coach's Corner at 7:10. So if you're looking for the preview, what the big storylines around National Signing Day are going to be as it pertains to the Longhorns and to the nation, really, and the Big 12. We'll talk to Bobby about that coming up. But coming next, we're going to get a quick timeout here on this Wednesday morning. We're going to talk to our friend Ari Temkin from SiriusXM's Big 12 Radio. We'll kick it around with Ari about Big 12 basketball. We'll ask this question. I'll ask you this, Ty, on the way to the break. Who do you think right now, through nine games, because, of course, they play 18 games in the Big 12 schedule, nine are done. You know, Texas is sitting at 7-2 with four teams at 6-3, as we highlighted in the headline. Of the teams you've seen in the Big 12, at their best, who do you think is the best team in the Big 12? Do you have a pick? Like you said, at their best, they're the team to beat, because it's a complete gauntlet and a round robin. Is there a team you look at and say that is actually the team that at their best is probably the best?
I mean, probably still Oklahoma, just with the talent they get in the recruiting.
Are you talking about Oklahoma? We're talking about basketball now.
Oh, basketball. Okay. Right now, I mean, Kansas. Last night they looked like they got things going. You know,
yeah, Jalen Wilson might be the best player in the conference. Yeah, and it's Bill Self. I you know, and we'll talk to Ari about that coming up. We'll ask you on the Specs text line as we're talking sports to get your mind off this ice storm and everything. Kids are home from school. Give us your thoughts on the Texas schedule. Who you think through halfway through the schedule, who is the best team in the Big 12 in the, you know, at their best? I mean, you can make a strong argument for Texas at 7-2. They could get Tyrese Hunter going and get him out of his shooting slump. Longhorns, no one wants to face that three-guard lineup and what Texas can do with their depth and all the guys off the bench, the young guys, the freshmen, Dylan Mitchell, Arterio Morris coming. We'll take your thoughts on that. Kansas, obviously, is a standard. K-State, Iowa State, all really, really good teams. TCU, got good news with the Mike Miles injury, that it's not a season-ending injury, hyperextension. I don't know if he can play anymore. We'll talk to Ari about that coming up. But, yeah, man, this conference is phenomenal. And we know the last two national champions have been produced by this conference with Baylor and Kansas, and very well may happen again in college basketball. So we'll talk to Ari coming up. Also, Bobby Burton on National Signing Day. Craig Way has his Craig Way report, as we are here for you on the show of the people, just getting warmed up on a very cold, icy Wednesday morning on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Always streaming on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Interesting Wednesday, February 1st. That's right, 1 Feb. National Signing Day. We'll talk to Bobby Burton coming up inside Texas on 3 Sports. Also, Craig Way with the Craig Way Report. Longhorns sitting atop the Big 12, now sole possession of first place on the men's basketball side of things at 7-2 after the results of last night. We're going to talk to our buddy Ari Temkin coming up. Also, plenty of NFL. We'll get into the D'Amico Ryans hire down in Houston, which I think is a Texans fan like I am, pretty excited about it. Also, Denver made a last run at D'Amico after apparently he blew them away in an interview and he became their leading candidate. The Broncos came hard and he instead picks the Texans, where he started his career, has a lot of roots and a lot of ties to the Texans organization. So the Broncos then pivot and make Sean Payton a very, very highly paid coach and gave up a lot to get him. Better work, because they've given up most of their future draft capital to acquire Russell Wilson at quarterback and now Sean Payton at head coach. We know it's a coach and quarterback league, but that's a lot to get both of those guys. But Sean Payton is back in the National Football League, which I think is a good thing. So we'll get into all that. It is February 1st. It was 1 year ago this day that Tom Brady retired from the NFL. We know it didn't last long. We know what the soap opera it was all year with the Buccaneers and his family and his divorce. And now the soap opera begins again. What will Tom Brady do this offseason? Talk of the 49ers, talk of the Raiders, or maybe he'll retire again. I don't know. What I do know is on this icy Wednesday morning, we appreciate you being there. Schools are out. People are camping out and hunkering down from home. We appreciate you being with us. We do know we're going to the Vaqueros hotline to talk some Big 12 basketball, Big 12 football with our great friend and former colleague Ari Temkin from SiriusXM's Big 12 Radio. Ari, good morning.
Morning, E. How are you, buddy?
I am doing good. I am from the home headquarters in South Austin, coming at you live with Ty Henderson back there producing and tweaking the dials in the compound. He slept at the radio station. That's something we've all done, but he did it last night. He took one for the team, slept at the station. When was the last time you did that, AT?
Yeah, there are times when I first started doing Cowboys games that I was also hosting, you know, a morning show that I thought about doing something like that, but it's been a long time. But I mean, I'm glad you got the home set up. It's you know, COVID it changed a lot about the world, but one of those things where, you know, we used to have to drive into a studio and now in an opportunity to not need to drive. It's great that you got the home set up so you can do that from your house. And yeah, that's an absolute taking one for the team right there to stay at the radio station. That's big time right there.
I'm sitting here comfortably in my little study den here with my setup and TVs and got my iPad going. I'm nice and warm. Ty's up there. Had slept on a couch, and because I wouldn't be on without him. Someone's got to push the button and put it on the air. So here we are, and we appreciate Ty doing that. And how are you guys? You're up in the Metroplex, obviously, and we're dealing with the ice here. I know it's been since Monday in the Metroplex, and you guys are dealing with even a more significant winter storm than we are.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, it's three straight years of this. I mean, I didn't grow up in Texas, but I've been in Texas for, you know, the better part of the last 12, 15 years, and feels like this has happened a lot more frequently than it used to. And yeah, I mean, it's just brutal. It's, you know, certainly in Austin, you're not set up for it. And certainly, you know, in Dallas, maybe we should be a little bit more set up for it now. But, you know, I mean, the roads are just completely iced over. You know, even I grew up in Chicago, so I'm used to driving in this, but not, you know, not icy road. You know, normally you put salt down, you're able to de-ice the roads, and that makes it a little better to drive on. But all the roads out here and by us, and, you know, you see videos on Twitter and social media of cars just bouncing off the roads. Like, there's just no driving on it. So it's completely shut down a city for 2 days, and this is three straight years of it. So
it's not, you know, just the city, too. That's
home for two straight days, so.
Yeah, gotta get it. Caught. And it's not just one city; it's Fort Worth. It's my daughter's in Denton. I mean, it's the whole. That's a lot of people that are shut in. We're doing the same thing here in Central Texas. All right, the Big 12 basketball. Let's start with that. I know for fans who listen and hear you often here in the 6 o'clock spot, you went to Kansas, so you're a proud Jayhawk who won the national championship last year. We know this conference is the best, you know, basketball league in America. Showed it again with the SEC Big 12 showdown, going 7-3. You know, how do you see this? I asked Ty off the top of the show here, at their best, who is the best? When you look at these teams that are so evenly matched and it's a night-by-night, you know, rock fight, which one do you look at and say, okay, when they're the best, that's the best team the Big 12 has? Do you have a pick for that, or is it still too early to tell?
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny because it feels like, and this is something we talked about yesterday, it's been an ongoing theme. It feels like as soon as you get an idea of, okay, this is what the conference is, this is the landscape, you know, you don't. Look, I mean, I think Texas certainly has to be part of that conversation with the question you just asked. I mean, this is a team that I think preseason expectations were, this is one of the most talented teams, if not the most talented team in the Big 12. And, you know, so they've proven that. I think the big thing is, you know, obviously the change of head coach, and how much of a difference does that make to what this team could be and reach its potential? I mean, so far it doesn't seem to be much of a drop-off for Rodney Terry. I think he's, you know, acquitted himself really nicely, and so we'll see how the rest of this plays out. But it's hard, honestly, to go against Texas. I mean, given what you just said about my link to Kansas, you know, Kansas showed some flaws in the last three games. I think, you know, they've got to get scoring from other players that are not named Jalen Wilson. I think that's an important component. I mean, Wilson's on a historic stretch right now for Kansas. He scored more points over the last five games in Big 12 play than any other Kansas players in the history of the Big 12. But they're 2-3 in that stretch. So, you know, it speaks to the fact that they don't have a lot of depth. They just got 19 points last night. Kansas did from their bench, the most they've gotten from their bench in Big 12 play so far this season. So, you know, it's one of those things where they need scoring outside of Jalen Wilson, but they haven't been able to show that much, especially from their bench. So, Texas has depth. They've got great guards. Yeah, I think Hunter has struggled here. But despite that, you get the emergence of Serge Jabari Rice. I mean, how huge has he been in terms of their scoring? You know, especially with the game against Baylor where, you know, Marcus Carr had a really bad shooting performance, but you still win because of Rice. So I think that just speaks to Texas' depth. So not just placating to UE, I think Texas might be the answer to that question.
Yeah, I think you laid it out well. And we've talked about that. You know, Jabari Rice has just been a godsend for Texas. And Rodney Terry talked about how when he was at UTEP, he played against Jabari Rice three times. And that was a big part of why they identified and recruited him out of the Houston area originally. And they're encouraging him to shoot the ball more. They know he's a good defender. They know he's just a smooth sixth man off the bench. But man, if he can, you know, continue to light up, even in the Tennessee game that the Longhorns lost on Saturday, he was their leading scorer with 21. Right. And that's where if you get, I mean, obviously the ceiling for Texas, if you get Tyrese Hunter out of this shooting slump and he can find that stroke to go with Marcus Carr, to go with Jabari Rice, and the depth of this team and the experience of this team, you know, they're a pretty high ceiling basketball club. I think that's absolutely true. K-State, Iowa State, it's just such a mangled or jumbled mess there in the Big 12, but sure is a lot of fun to watch on a night by night basis. It'll be a tough trip for them though, Ari. Obviously, this is a pivot point to their season. You know, having to go to Manhattan on Saturday afternoon, stay in the Sunflower State till Monday night, and play Kansas on Big Monday. You know, even if the Longhorns could split those two games, I think they feel pretty confident.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, in Kansas, to your point, they play, you know, they had that three-game losing streak, and then they play at Kentucky, then Kansas State coming home. Now they've got Iowa State on Saturday, and then, as you mentioned, with Texas on Monday. So it's like, we can't, you know, you cannot labor the point enough about the difficulty of this conference. And, I mean, look, you've got six legit teams here that are, at this point, AP top 15 teams. And that is just absurd. Six Big 12 teams are all in the top 15. And you can make a case, and it's been done. Like, any six of those could be Final Four teams. We'll obviously see how this plays out. And, you know, Iowa State's now lost two straight after blowing a 23-point lead in the second half, nonetheless, to Texas Tech, to Hendon Tech, their first conference win. So, you know, I think we think Texas Tech's the worst team in the Big 12, but you know, the thing about the Big 12 is you get a couple of wins and suddenly you're adding, you know, multiple quad one wins to your resume. You know, that can completely change your fortunes in terms of the tournament. Like, I think at this point, it looks like eight Big 12 teams will get in. But again, you know, just a couple of wins for, you know, a Tech or a West Virginia, and suddenly you got multiple quad one wins. You know, that could change the dynamic too. So I think you're looking at a Big 12 winner that probably has six or maybe even seven losses just because of just how hard it is night in, night out. And even, you know, even against Texas Tech or whoever else we think is the worst team in the conference.
Yeah, and I think the nation knows that. That's the good thing, right? If you look up and your conference champion is 12-6, that's a pretty nice accomplishment to get the 12 wins in this conference, because you only get nine of those games at home, and the road games are so difficult. And obviously, I mentioned the SEC Big 12 showdown this past weekend, 7-3 the record for the Big 12, but obviously the ninth-ranked Oklahoma Sooners blowing out the top-ranked Alabama Crimson Tide was a highlight too, as far as just highlighting just how great this conference is, that the bottom of the Big 12 can demolish. Yeah.
And West Virginia, 15th-ranked Auburn. Well, and you know, it's not just about the Big 12. The Big 12 is really good, but it's also like normally we're talking about the Big 12 with the ACC and the Big 10, and certainly the Big 10. I mean, Purdue is a monster, but the ACC is just brutal relative to what we're used to seeing. I mean, last night, you know, you turn on ESPN or ESPN2 and the premier games, you know, featured unranked teams in Duke playing an ACC matchup, and then Kentucky, an unranked Kentucky against, you know, a 9-12 Ole Miss squad. So, you know, it's not just that, the Big 12 is so good. It's also that we're used to seeing the ACC be so good, and the ACC is so down right now. So it just yeah. You know, by comparison, makes it look so much better.
Yeah, magnifies it. And Virginia's very good out of the ACC, but you're right, the depth in that league, not close to what we're used to. Ari Temkin is with us, SiriusXM's Big 12 Radio. He's got a show gets cranking up at 7 o'clock this morning, talking all things Big 12. Wanted to ask you about the schedule release. I know the Big 12's been sitting on that thing for a while now. I was told they were trying to get the Texas and Oklahoma negotiations and the plan out on the table and get that through, but maybe Fox is in the way right now with that as far as the overall agreement to make this the final year for the Sooners and the Longhorns. What did you make of the schedule, though? I mean, a lot of the Longhorn fans were fearful of, oh, my gosh, they're going to stick it to us on our way out. We're going to play, you know, all road games or whatever it might be. It seems like the schedule pretty favorable with six at home, six and then the bye week and then six more. You know, they're not going to play Oak State or West Virginia, but they are going to play, you know, the BYU Cougars, and they're going to go down to Houston to play the Cougars. And as one of our texters pointed out already, they only leave the state of Texas three times all season, and then between week 3 and week 11, they don't leave the state of Texas. So travel schedule friendly. What did you make what the Longhorns drew on from the conference?
Yeah, I mean, you almost knew they were going to make Texas go down to Houston, right? And that was like the one that you were going to see. But your point, you know, it probably wasn't as bad for Texas as it could have been for Oklahoma. It's pretty bad. I mean, they at the end of the year, they've got to go to Provo. They've got TCU following that to close out, you know, their Big 12 slate. They open up with Cincinnati. I mean, Cincinnati's first Big 12 game is hosting Oklahoma. So I feel like Oklahoma got a tougher draw on that. And Texas, you know, the tough one is just going to Houston, which you could have guessed that was exactly what the Big 12 was going to make them do, or whatever the algorithm told them to do, or, you know, in quotes, you know. But
and they told them to do.
It's exciting. Right. Yeah. And, you know, look, I never remember this being a thing. Brett Yormark talked about, you know, you younger, hipper, cooler. And I think it ended up, you know, turned out pretty well. I mean, it's just having it kind of all be released at the same time. I know there was a leak for TCU the night before, but, you know, it was just kind of cool. It made it more of a, you know, made it more of an experience and made it more of a big deal. We kept talking the last couple of weeks about, like, why is this such a big deal? Why is it so highly anticipated? You know, like, it just never had been like this before in terms of, like, there being a date and there being excitement for it. So it kind of shows just the you know, changeover of having some concept of marketing and an idea of, like, yeah, trying to leverage headlines and, you know, be the last one and do it the last day of January before, you know, this deadline where you've got to get the networks, your schedule by, you know, by the first couple of weeks of February. So I just love the whole presentation. Kansas State's social media team at K-State Football did a fantastic job. In fact, I mean, they went after Kansas. They did little video clips to show each team they were playing, and they did the Dumb and Dumber Pretty Bird with Kansas. It was actually really funny. I'm sure some will find it offensive, but it was actually hilarious. So I encourage people to go check that out. So social media teams, I think, did a really good job in terms of presenting the schedule and just having it all come out together at one time. I think it, you know, it built up the excitement. Plus, everybody's excited about the, you know, just the new blood of a Power 5 conference. And, you know, with Texas and OU perhaps being this final year, I think a lot of people expect that to be the case. You know, that will be a huge, obviously, subplot to this entire season.
Absolutely, and we're looking forward to it. It's only the first day of the second month, and we're 213 days to the Longhorns opener with the Rice Owls, and we're counting them already. We're counting them already, Ari. But, yeah, it's a unique schedule. Might be a one-off. Might be the only time. You know, mark your historic calendar in your mind that the trivia question will be, you know, 50 years from now. When was the only time the Big 12 played a 14-team conference schedule? Very well could be this one that came out yesterday with the four new teams and Texas and Oklahoma likely for one final year. Ari, thanks so much. Be safe up there with you and the fam, and tell them hello in the iced-in Metroplex. We are pretty much iced in here in Centex as well, but appreciate the conversation. Have a great show. Have a great week.
Yeah, you too, buddy, and everybody in Austin, stay safe and stay off the roads if you can. It's brutal out there, and hopefully we get out of this freezing weather and back to the 60s and 70s, the winter that I like.
Yeah, you and me both, my friend, back out on the golf course. All right, there it is. Ari Temkin, SiriusXM's Big 12 Radio. Thanks, Ari. And he's right. Stay off the highways. Stay off the roadways. We're dealing with power outages now. If you're, I know some neighbors of ours have texted, you guys have power. We do here in Onion Creek, but they're up in the front part of the neighborhood. They do not. And I know our radio station out on 360 does not. So obviously the ice accumulated on tree limbs, which is now hitting, power lines and throwing boxes. All that is what we're dealing with this morning. And the roadways and pretty much vacant out there. People are doing and heeding the warnings of staying off the roadways. Ari's right. As he mentioned, growing up in Chicago, they're built to deal with this. We just kind of lock it down for a couple days and wait for the warmer temperatures to come, which will be back tomorrow. But, frustrating when it happens as commonly now as it is, really usually in February, late January into February is when we're doing our ice dance. It does appear. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk about some of the things Ari had to say there. What say you? Who is the best team in the Big 12 when they're at their best? And Ari Temkin, who's a Kansas grad, tipped his cap to Texas and says he thinks Texas might be the best if everything is equal now that they've kind of navigated through the Chris Beard situation. And Rodney Terry seems to be doing a fine job of running the ship, getting great play out of them. So we'll take your thoughts on that. The Texas schedule, National Signing Day. We'll talk to Bobby Burton, the second guest in our great guest lineup this morning here on B&E. But right now, it's Craig Way.
Mornings with Bucky and Aaron.
Yeah, no B today, just E. Bucky doing fine. No ice issues for him. He just was scheduled to be off the first 3 days of February, so he's out today, and he's going to be hunkered down at his house. I asked him yesterday, do you have plans? They're getting kind of iced out. He said, nah, I just need to get a bunch of stuff done, and it's going to take a couple days ahead of Super Bowl week next week when we really crank this thing up. So the Buck is out. Ty Henderson is with us. We just had Ari Temkin, which was tremendous. He was the leadoff hitter of a fun guest lineup this morning. We'll touch all the top stories. Ari talking Big 12 basketball and the schedule released by the Big 12 yesterday. Coming up next hour in our Coach's Corner, about 10 after, we're going to talk to our great friend Bobby Burton from Inside Texas and On Three Sports. Talk National Signing Day. It's kind of it's not what it used to be in the first Wednesday of February, but we will talk to Bobby about the couple of targets the Longhorns do have. One of them's a big one. Actually, two big ones. A four-star safety out of Red Oak, Texas, named Warren Roberson is a name to look for. And then, obviously, Deuce Robinson is a five-star tight end from the state of Arizona, who's also a big-time baseball prospect. He's a name to watch. And we're going to talk to Bobby and get the very latest on that coming up, plus just the landscape of college football on the National Signing Day level. So we'll talk to Bobby coming up. Also, in our 8 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to our good friend John Harris from the Houston Texans Radio Network. Johnny's an analyst for the Texans, not only about the hiring of D'Amico Ryans, a player that John covered when he was with the Texans, former team captain and fan favorite in Houston for a long, long time, now coming back to really provide a jolt of energy to that organization. And Houston finally has some hope, I believe is the way to say it. We'll talk to John about that. But John is coming to us from Mobile, Alabama, and we talked to him in the 8 o'clock hour. He's there for the Senior Bowl, so we'll talk to John not just about the Texans hire, but also what he's seeing with his own eyes at Mobile with the Longhorns there. Steve Sarkisian was actually at the practice yesterday in Mobile to watch Roschon Johnson and DeMarvion Overshown with the All-Star game there. That game will be played on Saturday, but we know the week of practice, more important even than the game itself. So we'll talk to John about a couple of things football-related, top stories for sure. That's coming up with John Harris. So great guest lineup today. All the top stories covered for you. And speaking of Steve Sarkisian, we will have Coach Sark's signing day news conference, as usual, here on the Horn. Now, that's 11 o'clock this morning if you're making a plan to be with us, an appointment to hear Sark's. Now, this was going to be a press conference. We were going to carry it live, but because of the inclement weather and the ice we're dealing with, it's going to be a Zoom call coming up at 11 o'clock with the assembled media on Zoom. So it'll be an electronic press conference, essentially, and we will have that for you. We're going to carry it as live as we can coming up at 11 a.m. this morning. So just lock it in. Call your buddies, tell your friends that the Horn is on and live, and we're through the ice issues, and we're going to bring you all the top stories, talk Texas football, talk National Signing Day, talk Longhorn basketball, as we'll tell you again coming up in the headlines. Sitting here at the midway point of the gauntlet of the Big 12 schedule, the Longhorns are the only 7-win team. They're sitting there atop the conference alone at 7-2. Give a lot of credit to Rodney Terry and the Horns and the players for weathering the Chris Beard situation, which all came at all of us really quickly and out of nowhere on December the 12th. Well, here they are on February the 1st, first place in the conference, top 10 in the country, And big road trips coming with to Kansas and Kansas State. So we'll talk some Texas hoops, National Signing Day, D'Amico Ryans to the Texans, Sean Payton to the Broncos. What an active day in the National Football League. And, oh, yeah, the Super Bowl is coming up a week from Sunday. So plenty to dive into and talk about with you here on BNA. So appreciate you being there. Appreciate Ty Henderson being back and running the dials and running the show at the Horn headquarters. He slept at the radio station last night to make all of this possible, and can't thank him enough for that. We'll be back. It's BNA 1049, 1019, AM 1260, streaming always on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.